Leadership.
This is a conditional use of land to grant, it's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a medical office and ancillary medical uses to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 3.3 acres, more or less. The property is located on the southeast corner of Kings Highway and Gilsneck Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax map is District 335, Map 8, Parcels 37.01 and 335. Map 8, Parcel 37. That's a portion of Parcel 37. Staff would submit into the record a staff home analysis, an exhibit booklet, a site plan, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, and we should have results from the DLDOT service level evaluation regarding the application. Thank you.
Those results be separate from what's in the packet they gave us? We get other information?
No, it would be in the packet.
Okay. Thank you.
I just misspoke. Sorry.
All right. Is anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. This evening, I am representing the owner of the property, which is LW and JT Mitchell Family Limited Partnership. With me this evening are two of the partners of that, Robert and Jerry Mitchell. They're sitting near the back. Up here in the front with me is the project's engineer, Ring Lardner, with Davis Bone and Friedel. And to my left and your right is Michael Fiore, the project management consultant for the developer, as well as Jeffrey Lord, who's a regional operations manager for the developer. And sitting immediately behind them are Bob McLeish and Mike Glick with Lighthouse Construction. I think I win the award for bringing the most people with me tonight.
Yeah.
You got a lot of suits here tonight.
We're used to a lot better odds than this. So one of you and five of us. I mean, I don't think it's very fair to bring your whole team like this.
And you'll be happy to hear that not all of them plan on speaking.
You do get a point for that one. Go ahead.
I'm sure you are all familiar with the property that is the subject of tonight's application, as it's a property that's located at the intersection of Kings Highway and Gilsneck Road. I'm going to begin this evening by providing a little background and sort of an area-wide sketch of the property in summary. Then I'm going to ask Mr. Lardner if he'll go over some site-specific details and some engineering speak. After that, I'm going to ask Mr. Fiore if he will describe the need for this type of a facility in the area, as well as the purpose of the planned construction and how it meets those needs. And then I will make some concluding comments. By way of background, this evening's application, as it was introduced, is a conditional use application for 39,000 square feet of medical office space. The owner of the property is the Mitchell Family Limited Partnership, and a copy of its deed was, of course, submitted with the application and is included in your exhibit notebook at tab D. If the conditional use is ultimately approved by County Council, the developer of the site would be Medical Building Developer LLC, which is an LLC that it would be developing the site for a regional orthopedic provider. You will hear from the representatives, as I indicated a moment ago, from a Medical Building Developer LLC as to the nature of the construction and what they intend for the site. As you can see on the screen, the site is a 3.2 or 3.3 acre tract of land on the southeast corner of the intersection of Kings Highway and Gilsneck Road. In your exhibit notebooks at tab C, the first map is a if you could help me out with where those exhibits went to. There's a surrounding community.
Yes.
Thank you. You can see on the surrounding communities map, of course, where the site is located. It's on the same side as of Kings Highway as the Village Center, which is immediately below it. If you travel to the north, after the site, you of course have the remainder of this site, which is owned by the Mitchell Family Limited Partnership. Adjacent to that, you have the location of Lane Builders' office. Next to that, it used to be a florist, and now it is the Big Oyster restaurant. And then actually on the other side of that is a church. Jumping immediately across the street on Kings Highway, you have a strip commercial center, which is probably the is best known maybe for Mr. P's. There's also a Chinese restaurant in there and some other office-type uses. Below that, moving down, you actually move into lands that are part of the city of Lewis. And as most of you probably know, there was an assisted living facility that was approved for the location where the cursor is that Mr. Lardner has moved there, Lewis Medical Development. And again, that's in the city of Lewis. If you continue to move down, again, we're still in the city of Lewis. We have Penlopen Gardens. And then below that, you'll see the Jack Lingo Realtor Office, which is almost immediately across the street. And then immediately across the street, of course, from this site is the Cape Penlopen High School. If we travel a little further down Kings Highway, you have Kingston Court and Cape Professional Campus, which are an office use, professional offices, real estate offices, accounting offices that are in there. And then, of course, as you move further down, you have the Crooked Hammock Restaurant. And then you can see that is where Kings Highway divides into the various routes you have to get to Route 1. There are other uses, obviously, that are highlighted on there. That's just sort of a quick tour of what's along Kings Highway in that section. The property is owned, actually, Mr. Lardner, if you could put the zoning map up. The property is zoned AR1, which is why it's the subject of the conditional use application. And as you can see, the site is in the middle of the location. And I highlighted most of the businesses that I did as I was walking through the property, because those are the ones that correspond with the B1 zoning and the C1 zoning that you see. Again, I'll start with the site. Immediately across the site, if you are on Gills Neck Road, the pinkish color there is, of course, the Village Center. If we stay on Gills Neck Road and head the opposite direction, you have the balance of the property, which, of course, is zoned AR1. And then next to it, two properties up, you have the Big Oyster restaurant, which is C1. If you go across the street, the red there is the Mr. P strip commercial that we saw. And then if you go head back down towards the intersection with Clay Road, those are the offices, Kingston Professional Offices, as well as the Cape Professional Office areas that are down, at the intersection of Clay Road and Kings Highway. There are other commercial uses and conditional uses in this area, but these are the highlights and the ones that obviously we've summarized because they're similar in nature as to what the applicant is seeking as part of this conditional use as a medical office, professional office, and this is a medical office application, but there are other professional offices and such in the area. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Lardner if he will review some of the site-specific details with you. When he's done, I'll ask Mr. Fiore to make some comments.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Ring Lardner, a professional engineer and principal with the firm Davis Bonafidel Incorporated. I'm going to hit most of the highlights in the booklet. I'm going to exactly tell you exactly where I'm at, but it's like Prego, it's in there. But we'll go through most of it through this presentation. As David mentioned, the parcel of land is approximately 3.2 acres of land. It is located in the Level 1 investment area of the 2015 State Strategies Map. And you can see the bulk of the area that we are located in is within the Level 1 area where the state's determined that infrastructure exists, planned for growth from the state spending standpoint. In addition, the property is located in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. Due to the zoomed-in nature, this checkered pattern is the actual zone. It just looks very weird in this picture, but that's the way the map kind of looks. This afternoon, we had submitted an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report in accordance with Chapter 115, Section 194.3 of the County Code to demonstrate our compliance with that section. This property does not contain any federal or state wetlands. It is not located within a 100-year floodplain and does not contain any national historical or archaeological sites. Dun, dun, dun. The proposed project consists of, again, a two-story building, 39,000-square-foot medical office. The building is currently laid out so that it is kind of set back more than 80 feet from both the King's Highway and Gelsneck Road rights-of-way. For the record, the King's Highway Road is classified as a principal arterial in accordance with DLDOT and also in accordance with Chapter 99 of the Sussex County Code. It's one of the 8 arterial roads listed within the code. Gelsneck Road is classified as a local road that generally runs in that direction. The Gelsneck Road and King's Highway intersection has recently been upgraded with a revised signal and intersection configuration. Gelsneck Road itself has been upgraded to include shoulders, a bike lane, deceleration lane, through lane, left turn lane that is going towards Cape Henlopen High School, and a concrete island to separate the east-west traffic. King's Highway has recently been nominated for dual lanes within the DLDOT's Capital Transportation Program, and the frontage, the King's Highway frontage, is part of the Lewis Byway. The developer will meet with the byway should this project receive a favorable recommendation from this body and ultimately approval from County Council. DLDOT has provided a service level evaluation and identified that the proposed project does require or meets the requirements for a traffic impact study. However, when you read a little bit further in that evaluation report, it says it's a minor impact because the traffic is less than 200 peak trips per day and less than 2,000 trips per day. So they consider it a minor impact and thus were eligible to pay what's called an area-wide study fee. This area has been studied numerous times. An initial study would really not find any more information we already know, such as the dual lanes, the need for them again, which I noted a few minutes ago, the department is finally nominated in the CTP program. The proposed project requires...
Which means it'll be done in what?
About 10 years,
yeah. 65, yeah.
Well, with the development going on in nature, it might get done sooner or later, some more contributions coming into play, so you never know. The proposed project requires 89 parking spaces. This plan proposes 156 spaces. It's based on a needs assessment. I won't say much further. I'll save that for another presenter in a few minutes to explain that. The sketch plan before you was prepared by another engineering firm. We've been retained to take this from this point forward, again, should this application receive approval. The plan currently shows parking within the setbacks. I understand the commission's feeling with parking in the setbacks, and we believe that we can revise the site to remove that parking from setbacks. We'll aim to do that, again, should we proceed to the next step of the site plan approval. However, we are aware that the byways has some very lofty expectations for the byway, and DLDOT may require some more than normal dedication of rights of way along King's Highway in regards to the corridor. Furthermore, this plan shows a double front yard setback, and we recognize that Gelsneck Road is technically eligible for a reduced setback along Gelsneck Road, which would actually allow it to be down to 15 foot, which would then, that parking would no longer be in that front yard setback along Gelsneck Road. So again, there's a site plan issues. I just want to bring them up to the commission in case it had caught your eye in reviewing the booklet. The site does propose a connection to a future access easement that we would request again in the future that will have access to Gelsneck Road. We have spoken to DLDOT. This access would be acceptable for this project, but would need to be evaluated if a future development is proposed, as they would like to see the access obviously further away from the intersection. But they recognize where this parcel is located, and they wanted to get the entrance as far away from Gelsneck as possible. The parcel of land will have at least one interparcel connection kind of to the north. The plan currently shows two, but we commit that there will be at least one interconnection going that direction. You see the other connection going to the east. The parcel will be served by a gravity sewer system that will eventually tie into the governor's pump station, and water will be served by tidewater from a water main located along Gelsneck Road. So there's already a water main along Gelsneck Road, and the governor's pump station is down here, so the gravity sewer actually comes through the village center. It was part of a larger concept plan that was done when this whole corridor was evaluated many years ago. The parcel of land is located in the outer reach of the excellent groundwater recharge area, and the proposed project will comply with Chapter 89 of the Sussex County Code. And again, earlier today, we provided a written response regarding our compliance with the code. The developer has held preliminary discussion about providing stormwater management on the owner's parcel. There's been some discussion whether recharge should occur within the recharge area or outside the recharge area, so we've had some conversation with the developer or with the residual owner about stormwater management outside the recharge area, and we will comply with, again, with the code. It'll be designed to meet or exceed the stormwater regulations and will be reviewed and approved by the Sussex Conservation District using best management practices and best available technologies. Compliance with Chapter 89 will be reviewed by both the Sussex Conservation District and Sussex County. And that concludes my portion of the presentation.
At this time, I'm going to ask Mike Fiore, who's a project management consultant with the developer, to address for the commission sort of the demographics of the area that involve both the patient side of that as well as the doctor side of that, and then the use and function of the building that you see a sketch of there on the screen, as well as Mr. Lardner mentioned during his presentation, why the extra parking places beyond what the Sussex County Code requires. So Mr. Fiore, if you would address those topics, please.
Good evening. Michael Fiore, 121 Ball Avenue, Orland, PA. I'm sure there's not much I could tell you about the demographics down here that you're not already aware of. From our perspective, the biggest thing is the continuity of care. Anybody that's familiar with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, federal government, this is the focus. They've implemented and made it pretty much a requirement for the last 5 years for all practices. Integration to be able to share information, continuity of care. We've taken that to a practical application. We've taken that to an actual workflow within the building. So that what we try to do is take a patient right from medical exam to diagnostic radiology to PT if required. The idea is that with the demographics, mostly in this area, and we've seen a steady raise in Medicare and that demographic, you don't want to have multiple trips to the physician offices, to the PT offices, another one for radiology, for MRI. The idea being also, which dovetails into what Ring was saying about the parking spaces, anyone that has a parent that fits that demographic has probably attended an office visit with them as an advocate, as a medical advocate. That is commonplace in our specialty. You'll have multiple people attending. Sometimes you'll have public transportation, or I'm sorry, privatized transportation, because they're not ambulatory. And you still have the spouse or the family member attending as well. So you end up having multiple people attending, traveling in multiple vehicles. So the idea is that you can have the one center be the medical exam, go into the PT and the diagnostic radiology to continue that continuity of care that's being implemented by CMS from electronic medical record standpoint. The demographic, as I said, I can't imagine I'm going to enlighten you in any way about the demographic here that's self-evident with the assisted living, with the retirement, with just generally the population in that area. So I can't imagine I'm going to enlighten you there. The parking and the access, it's a priority. We oversize the parking spaces because a lot of times they're going to have a cane, they're going to have a walker, sometimes wheelchair. When it's post-surgical, they're definitely going to have the accompaniment of a caregiver, of a family member. They're going to need to be able to get in and out of the vehicle. You'll notice that the awning, we allow them to pull up, remove the patient, and then go park wherever. The way that we have it designed in the front just facilitates whether it's a transport of a privatized transportation bus, whether it's a private vehicle, etc. Anything else?
I guess, two follow-up questions. One is, does one thing that I mentioned you were going to cover that you didn't was, how does this help with perhaps attracting other professionals to come to this area? And actually, if you can answer that question, then I'll ask my other question.
So, obviously, the demographic, the geography down here, it's obviously much different than in a more urban or a city setting. And for medical professionals, especially coming out of a fellowship specialty, they want to know that there's growth in their own career. They want to know that there's scalability. So the designation of this type of building and this type of workflow is the same thing that you will see in Philadelphia, that you'll see in Baltimore, that you'll see in other areas that they're being pulled into. And it's very difficult to recruit into what could be considered more of a recreational or not an area that's going to be a growth for a specialty fellow. So having this type of facility that shows this this type of attention to the continuity of care, it's definitely a big recruiting draw.
And with respect to the type of building that's shown here and the continuity of care that you've just described, has that concept, have you used that concept, or the doctors that you've assisted before, have they used that concept? I guess, is this in place in other places that it's been successful?
Yes. So this is definitely not the first rodeo. We've done three type buildings like this, all the same type of model. I would love to say that it was my intelligence and my acumen that brought it to fruition, but it wasn't. I just implement the project plan of much smarter people.
It was probably Mr. McLeish's, I would imagine.
I would say that's accurate. We've been very successful with this, and
he went to Vernon Pike University, so I mean it was pretty prestigious school.
And I definitely tip my hat, and I will be fine to give the accolades to Bob. As far as the building, it's been phenomenal for the communities that it served. They love the ability to be able to come in and not only, like I said, have the medical exam, but having the other services there is huge. Not having to leave, go back, and like I said, we share the information through appropriate PHI and HIPAA compliance standards with the other practices to make sure that we can expedite the visits. And we've done it in Northern Delaware, Central Delaware, and Dover as well.
And there was a reference to Mr. McLeish, and he and Mr. Glick are here because they have been involved in the construction of several of these facilities, and if there was any questions about the sort of the nuts and bolts, I guess, literally, they could answer those questions.
I'll try to hold myself back on that, but...
Thank you. At the conclusion of the exhibit notebook, actually it's tab J, there are, as is typical, there are proposed conditions for this conditional use. If the Planning Commission should choose to make a recommendation to Council in favor of asking the Council or to approve the conditional use. Two conditions which are not in there that were realized and should be is one, a condition regarding the screening of dumpsters, and they would be screened from the roadways, Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road. And the second condition relates to signage for the premises, and the signage that would be requested in addition to those conditions, which are already demonstrated on tab J, would be 50 square feet of signage on the building, and that's not for anything other than the purposes of naming the building. As you know, when you go to medical facilities, oftentimes that building is named, so that square footage would be used for a name for the building. And then two 4x8 or 32 square foot signs, one for the Gills Neck Road side of the property, and then a 4x8 sign or 32 square foot sign for the Kings Highway portion or frontage of the property. As you know, this is a conditional use application, and the code indicates that conditional uses are when there's a public or semi-public character of what's being proposed, which are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. And I would submit that with the presentation that you have heard tonight, you heard from Mr. Lardner's presentation regarding the things that the Planning Commission regularly deals with, which is how this is appropriate under the comprehensive plan because it's in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone and part of that. You've also seen the state the 2015 state strategies map, which has this as a level one area. And of course, as you know, and as Mr. Lardner mentioned, that's an area where state investments and policies support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities, and the state promotes well-designed and efficient new growth. You also, of course, just heard the testimony of the developer as to the purpose of the site and how it would work and the continuity of care and how this helps with traffic. You have a person going to one place to do multiple things that they could otherwise most likely have to make multiple visits and appointments for. And in addition, as Mr. Lardner mentioned, recognizing the nature of this area, when I began, I noticed the other businesses that were there, businesses that are there or going to be there that are zoned C1 and B1, and the applicant is voluntarily agreeing to a condition, as you'll see in the proposed conditions, that would have this building setback that matched those C1 businesses, which again is in keeping with the business uses that are in office professional type uses that are already situated along Kings Highway. These things all demonstrate that this is something that is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County and its residents. And with the conditions that are in the exhibit notebook at tab J, as well as the two additional ones that were provided a moment ago, the applicant would ask that the Planning Commission make a recommendation for approval to County Council. Myself and all the other crowd I brought with me are available for any questions the Commission may have.
We're not as quick as the first applicant tonight, but okay. Anyway, we'll see what anybody has to say. All right, so we start with Mr. Wheatley.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Hutt, and all of your associates this evening for putting up with my levity. Actually, the concept is right on time. It's exactly what's happening in the industry. I mean, it's an excellent concept. The concern, I think, that that folks are going to have, and that I would like you to speak to, is the issue of traffic. We're looking at the plan. The access for this building is through an access road that is toward the rear of the property that appears to be about 400 feet from the intersection, from the main intersection. There's also 49 and a half acres of residual land that I'm just guessing might get developed someday. And, you know, how is all that, you know, going to work together? I think that's going to be the concern. I understand that the subject of tonight's hearing is just for this 3.2 acres, and I understand that completely. But my question is, what do you see the circulation being? I mean, 39,000 square feet of medical space is quite a bit of space. You're going to have many employees, many patients there. The traffic going through that intersection is going to be significant. I'm a little concerned about the 400-foot distance because it seems to me that on a good day, that's probably about 20 car lengths. When the school is buses are coming and going, and it seems to me that there could be quite a snarl there, and I'm hoping that someone on your team can speak to this whole issue, and we'd like to hear from them.
I'll let Mr. Lardner address that question.
Mr. Wheatley, you share the same concern that DOT has shared with me when I first asked him about this subject. As you well know, they have the ultimate approval for entrances. That entrance would have to meet all of their standards. I'm pretty sure, actually I know it warrants a left turn lane and the likes, and all of that would have to be demonstrated by this project. Should we prove that we can meet those requirements? If we can't meet those requirements, then I suspect that DOT would say we would have to access this parcel from a different direction. But that ultimately comes down to the interest plan approval for that, whether or not we can make all the turn lanes safe, make it safe for the traveling public and those that plan on using this facility. As far as future development, we don't know what that is, but Delta has the same concerns as what happens when it's done. And again, we'd have to look at where are the other entrances along Gills Neck Road, where are the entrances along Kings Highway, how are they fitting that better plan, and that's something that we would sit down and discuss with DLDOT for their designs. And that's about the best answer I have for you for at least tonight's hearing, just as a preliminary conversation I've had with DLDOT when we submitted this application.
Outside of that, that's my only concern. That the rest of it, I mean, the appropriateness of this type of facility in this area is not an issue for me. It really comes down to the traffic, and that's going to be the big concern. And I'll defer to the rest of the commission here.
Mr. Hudson.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins.
I mean, my questions work in the same vein. I must have missed something along the way. How were you able to conclude 400 feet? Because it's about 800 feet and you cut it in half?
I'll tell you exactly how I did it. I took a piece of paper where I could find a dimension.
I'm with you.
I love these guys. You don't put dimensions on anything. I mean, now I guess maybe this is why. I don't know. But I took a piece. I found a 40-foot dimension somewhere, and I made a little mark on a piece of paper.
It was 10 times.
And then I started marking it off, and it looked like I could get about 10 of them. And that's how I came up. How close was I, by the way, Mr.?
You're pretty close.
I thought maybe I was, yeah. Yeah, you could have saved me a lot of time and trouble by just putting that on.
You're correct. I could have.
Correct.
I guess I included the record plate in there, but I thought I had that dimension on there.
That's fine. It probably may be. It just wasn't on what I was looking at. It's fine. But yeah, that's how I did it.
Let's see. I know where that mobile
I thought I was sleeping. I thought I was sleeping during that part of the presentation.
The property line is noted as 329, and there's a 50-foot. Where that
foot.
Corner was cut off.
Yeah,
that was
50
close
foot.
Enough.
You get you about the 420 range.
Yeah.
That must have probably been.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or so many years, as the rest of that's developed, it would be nice. There might come a point in time where those other two access points that you have would be the preferred access points on the last, what is this, under G, and that's, I guess it's really the same, I think it's about, no, under G, it doesn't even show the Gills Neck entrance, right?
That's the access road to the top of the page.
Okay, there it is. All right, got it. Thank you. Okay. So is that access road going to, could that potentially serve other, like the more of the farm?
Potentially.
I think that's all I had.
Okay. Thank you. Guess what my concerns are too? The same thing. I mean, and I agree. I think this is a very needed facility. This is the way medical is going, and I've done a lot of research on that and stories on it, so. I appreciate that interconnectivity is already built into this, so you've got me one of my checkpoints on that one. But yeah, where the road is, and I know we're only supposed to look at this, but is there any way, since we have the property owners here, that we could think of a place where this road is going to go, ultimately the access road? I would just feel more comfortable as someone who rides that road every day, and it's my daughter and her bus goes on that road every day to school.
I understand the concerns. At the end of the day, DLDOT is going to tell us exactly where these entrances need to go based on entrance spacing, turn lane lengths, everything else. If I'm a betting man, I would pretty much assume that should this parcel be developed further, this access road you see would change more than likely from a full access to a right in, right out, maybe a left in, and that access would go further east on Gills Neck and then maybe somewhere on Kings Highway. But again, that's right now.
That's what I'm hoping for
in the future. So right now we are looking at starting out to that square foot. And I don't always tend to like putting blinders on, but that's right now what we're looking at. But yeah, Delta has had the same issue. I've sat in their office and they asked the same question: "What's your future?" I'm like, "I don't know the future." They're like, "Well, so you know, this entrance, like all other entrances, DoDOT will can always change an entrance at any point in time based on future development." So
they would give you this one for now, but when other things become developed, they might say we're moving this road somewhere else,
or change it to a right in, right out configuration and move it somewhere else.
Go ahead.
So what's the timing of all this? What is there any other properties that are under contract or anything? I mean, because what.
It's all owned by the same people.
No, I know, but clearly, so there's an access road shown there. There's access to, I guess, the north of it that's shown. It strikes me you're not going to build an access road and then tear it out and build it somewhere else. I mean, is there, how set in stone is that access road at this point? I mean, because you're right about DelDOT, but like we just heard on the other application, DelDOT's reacting to where you all want to put an access road. They're not telling you to put it right there. So I guess I'm just asking the same thing as some other people have asked. But, you know, what's the timing? Because you can't open this unless the access road physically exists. Are you waiting until you get some other properties developed and approved out there before you build the access road and this gets built? What's sort of how this all goes?
The intention right now is that this parcel, this portion of access road will get built now.
Okay.
I don't know, again, owner's plans as far as the future development. I know they want to still be able to continue to farm it at this point in time, but it is, you know, the nature of the economy if something else were to come up.
Well, I mean, the whole thing's listed for sale right now.
It's sale, but it could be, we don't know who's going to buy it or what that use would be.
Right,
it could be a myriard of different things, and the AR1 could be residential, and then how does that interact? It could be something different.
It could be a C4 development under the new zoning.
Right. And it could be a C4 in the new zoning.
Right. I mean, it could be another 300 homes.
And by asking the question, I'm not suggesting that's a showstopper of anything. It's just, you know, trying to get a feel for what's the most straightforward way to do it, that we're not changing things and, you know, it gets done once and approved once and designed with sort of a, it's almost like a little bit ad hoc, you know, you're saying, okay, we're going to put this access road here because this serves this property, you know, but personally, I think that the developer on the other side of Gills Neck Road had a master plan, you know, with a lot of accesses, and of course that got changed, but there was thought that went into it as far as how that parcel was going to be developed and where the entrances were going to be, and that was the reason for my question. Has there been that sort of thought that's gone into this yet? And maybe not, I guess, as far as a master plan for that whole thing. But what I guess you all are saying is that's not the case.
There's not a master plan for the balance of that land. And, you know, in fact, the interconnectivity to the north, which I think you referenced a moment ago, is so that there's future interconnectivity with whatever happens with the balance of the property. And to the east, that obviously makes the entrance on Gills Neck Road presently and puts it in the closest proximity to this site.
I think the question that we're struggling with, and I understand that you initially would be tempted to feel that it's beyond the scope of this hearing, but the point is, though, that as we're looking at this, everyone knows that all the traffic from that 52 acres is going to end up on Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road one way or another. And what I think we're thinking is we'd like to know what that way is. You know, we get roundly criticized regularly for doing stuff piecemeal, a little bit here, a little bit there, one at a time, and so on. And this is the situation, and this is why, because it is very difficult to predict the future. Everybody gets that, but that's the issue that I'm personally struggling with here.
I am with you, Mr. Wheatley. I certainly am like the application. I like the design, but ultimately, I'm worried we're going to get stuck with a poorly placed road that would be dangerous and not actually enhance the whole area.
Yet, and at the same time, and again, just speaking for myself, this project has significant merit. I want to see it happen somehow.
Yes, I do too.
I think it's needed. I think we need to figure this out.
Let me ask it from another direction. This is maybe a question for staff. Right now, the conditional use does not include that access road, right?
Actually, it does.
It does?
It does. That's why the conditional use references two parcel numbers, okay. And one of them is a portion of, and because this part, the physical parcel of 3701 is 3.2 acres, and since they were using the access road, we include it as part of the conditional use because they were going to be using it, which is why the overall acreage for the conditional use is 3.3 acres.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also, I want to mention for the benefit of the other commissioners in the parking discussion. They're absolutely right about the parking. Our parking regulation for medical is just, it's 75 years old. I mean, it's just not even close to what reality is for the way medical practices are run today. Thank you, gentlemen, for actually going ahead and doing the right thing instead of coming in here with something that wouldn't have enough parking for half of that. So I appreciate that. And that's something we have to put on our list of things to do.
Right.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
So I'll follow up my statement too then, even if it's part of it. Ultimately, you know, we're looking at a preliminary site plan. You know, we can deal with that through you know, final site plan review, and there's no reason why it couldn't get changed. Because I think we all realize, you know, we're sort of dancing around it, but you know, there's interconnection there. That's on Gills Neck Road. There's B1 on the other side. That's probably going to be some type of office, my guess is, along the front, you know. And as we look at those, you know, you're going to have the ability to do site plan review along the way and determine, you know, also what's best. And they will, too. Clearly, they've gotten the message, I think, you know, as far as concerns about access, too, that they'll take into account as they go forward.
You know, and I get the irony isn't lost on me that what we're suggesting is that we'd actually like to see a much bigger plan.
There's other applications that some of us know about where there was a bigger plan, and everybody said we'd like to see a bigger plan, and we had one, you know, along the way.
At the risk of somebody shooting me when I walk out of here, but really, yeah, of course, well, I thought the other bigger plans were okay, but I was by myself. You know, but that's the issue.
Yeah.
Or I mean, at least, and this is a question, somebody, I think Bob brought up the point that 400 feet is really maybe not enough. What is a happy distance from an intersection? I mean, the owner does have the land. I guess my question would be, is it possible to get the owner to commit to a bigger entrance up here further?
We can't tonight because we can't condition land that's outside of the condition.
Yeah, but it's already in. If the parcel number is already referenced, it's already on the table.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'd have to look at what the legal description was in the original ordinance. Because usually it's a meets and bounds description.
Because I think that is what Keller's getting to was something that had crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I have no idea even if the applicant is willing to consider this, but one solution is to just get that access road further down the road. Typically, you would put it as far down the road as you could get it, you know, that may not be something that works for them or what, but it would just in some kind of way to try to.
Do they own the mobile home and the shed as well?
Property.
Yes.
They own that property.
I can answer that real quick because she just checked, and it's a meets and bounds description on 3.3, and we can't go conditioning lands that weren't advertised as part of the ordinance.
But could we condition it as this is a temporary thing until the rest of the property is developed and we expect this to move somewhere else?
And I'd have to.
What about
give that some thought.
Maybe a consideration, a condition that would be consider, I'm using the big broad words, looking at something
else. You
know,
when you start doing that, that just messy. Creates problems.
But at the same time, so the access road right now, to continue the thought, let's say there was another access further to the east. This access could turn into a right in, right out. You not necessarily would want to just eliminate it. It could be part of another type of circulation. So right now it's proposed as a full access, again, keeps it close to this parcel understanding allows whatever future, whatever's going to happen,
right,
that this would then be integrated into that plan, and then ultimately that interest would probably, again, probably, Delta's going to make them more than likely change that from a full access to a right in, right out, which would alleviate
right
some of the concerns that you have regarding the access. Because obviously the full access is the biggest concern, which is the immediate forefront we're looking at. But in whatever future occurs, more than likely that full access will not be full access if when Delta gets their hands in it.
Yeah, my hope is that it would eventually be a road that would go all the way through the property and have an exit onto King's Highway as well. Is this road going to be created to state highway? So would it be turned over to the state eventually, or this is just a, this would be a private?
It'd be a private road.
It'd be a driveway right now.
Suss County standards.
Okay.
Well, I got another question on that. So as I look at the access road, and I'm trying to reconcile it to the rendition, are they two separate things?
Two separate things. That rendering, I believe, is the Dover building.
Okay, that's fine.
If I'm not mistaken, is the Dover building. We just want to kind of give you an idea of what the building looks like.
Okay, so now the way that people will enter is they turn from Gill's Neck Road onto the access road, and then do they only have access then to the one inner parcel access point, or is the access road going to then turn and come back down towards King's Highway? In other words,
it's only to here.
Right now, the access road would only go to this first entrance.
It's just for this, Kelly. It's not going to turn a corner necessarily.
So there's only just that one way to get in right there.
It strikes me a little bit like the one that's at the BB complex on 24, where that goes in, serves BB, and then it dead ends, and you know, for future development, it'll get built. I mean, I know there's plans to connect that through and everything, but same. That's what it'll probably look like at first.
Yep. Well. Gentlemen, have we beat this horse to death? Mrs. Walls, do you have anything?
And just for Ring wrote me a note while we were talking. I think it was Mr. Robertson that asked if there's like a master plan, like I think you've seen for other things. And he noted that there have been concepts that have been floated because they've had other people that have been interested, but there is not, you know, a true master plan yet. But there are conceptual plans, I think, that a correct description of what those are, but again, it's
speculation.
I'd love to see that kind of thing. I mean, as I've said before, like Hawkeye, senators, governors, the shopping center's name I can never remember. I think that was all master planned well originally. Some things have changed that weren't good, but you know, when they cut off my access anyway. But yeah, you know, that they were all interconnected so that you can get from one place to the other, and it looks like you're trying to do that here as well. So,
but leave the opportunity to do that, correct?
Because I think you also, just with the discussions at the council level on the comp plan and went through with the commission, just as a heads up, you guys, you're going to hear about that, you know, where one of the criticisms of the county, and somebody else has brought it up, is that, you know, it's been sort of parcel by parcel. And you look back at it and you think, sheesh, you know, there was opportunities missed. Whereas with this property, you know, right now this is the first one in, and you guys and the property owners have a great opportunity to get to the end and have it done right versus get to the end and go, sheesh, we missed another opportunity, you know, and it was just carved up piece by piece. And, you know, so that you're going to hear that probably at council too.
So. And again, that's the great irony that Mr. Wheatley was just pointing to.
Listen, and I'm absolutely sensitive to it because I've been up here through the whole evolution of all this, and where we find ourselves now is in a situation where, and I think part of it is because we're finally going to have the mechanism to do it with the C4 zoning, which is essentially like a commercial plan development, which, to my way of thinking, this is an ideal site for that. For anyone who to think that this land is going to stay idle, stay in farming, that's just not reality. Anyone who is thinking about it knows it's going to be developed in some fashion. And since that's the case, let's do it in the best way we can do it. You know, and we may not necessarily have that opportunity for this. This is important. It's needed. It needs to happen. I get all that, but I think you know where we're coming from.
and perhaps the balance of the project may be,
well,
could be a C4.
I was having that thought.
And you're thinking along this line. All right.
We got to get that thing approved first.
Yeah, I know. We're not there yet. Yeah. It's coming, though, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in opposition? Okay. As such, we'll close the public hearing. And as always, you're invited to stay with us for the rest of the evening, see if we make a motion.
Did we just have an application in Lewis, the area, where there was no opposition?
Wow.
I don't know how they got under that radar, but anyway.
Well, we're going to be here a while.
There's still a council hearing.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess I probably jinxed you, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Thank you for the commission.
Thank you. All right. That's the end of our public.